Well, we are six chapters in to the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is making enemies. And these are the enemies that will eventually see him to the cross. In the Gospels, throughout all four Gospels, Christ's main opponents are these group of characters that we call the Pharisees and the scribes, though in our translation, the scribes are called the teachers of the law of Moses. We don't know a whole lot about these people, but what we do know is that they were really zealous guardians of God's word, especially God's law and commands that concerned ritual purity and cleanliness and of course, as we saw today, Sabbath laws. They're so zealous for these laws and protecting them, that they often added to those laws in order to protect them further. Imagine like an old, beautiful mansion that's on this glorious and just wonderfully green, well-kept estate. And imagine that maybe behind the mansion there's this great big green, grassy, well-kept field, and in the middle of this field, this grass, this lawn, is this beautiful statue. And the owner of the statue has put a little plaque on the statue saying, "Please do not touch." But there's groundskeepers there, and the groundskeepers are so worried that this statue is going to be touched that what they do is they start to build a fence around the statue. And maybe at first they just build like a little, you know, 4x4 fence around it just to hold people back. But that later on they decide, nah, it's just not quite good enough. And so they build a fence that's a little bigger and further out from the statue. And like, well, that's not quite good enough yet. And so they build a fence that is 30 feet away from the statue. You can't even really see the details of it anymore. This is kind of what the Pharisees are doing to God's laws, to God's commands. In our passage we saw today, there's the command about the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath holy. Remember the Sabbath. 6 days you work, on the seventh, you give this day to God. The Pharisees have taken this, and in order to protect anybody from violating the Sabbath, they add law to it. Okay, so we don't know what it means to not work, so we're going to tell you what it means to not work. You're not going to walk a certain amount of steps on the Sabbath day. If you walk too far on the Sabbath day, you violated the command. Or if you go into a field and you pick some grain to eat, you violated the command. If you do any kind of work like this, you violated the command. They've taken this command, which is like that statue, and they've built a great big fence around it. They're so concerned with the letter of the law that they've added more letters to the law. But in our gospel, Jesus, he's like that punk teenager rapscallion. He just climbs right over the fence. He breaks through the hedge and he goes right to the heart of the matter. His disciples are walking with him, and they pick heads of grain, and they rub them together, and they chew the grain, which sounds ridiculous to me. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Farmers, I'm sorry. I know you guys like to do that. It doesn't make sense to me. But the Pharisees jump on those guys, and they're doing work. You're not supposed to do that, Jesus. And then Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and there they are all so furious that Jesus did work by healing a person on the Sabbath, that they're starting to plan against him, to find a way to put him to death. Every Monday morning when I come into my office, I like to make a list. I like to make a checklist. And, you know, I do a lot of things on computer. I use my phone for a lot of things, but when it comes to a checklist, I still like to put it on paper because I love that feeling of accomplishment. When you get something done, you can just scratch it off. So much so that even when I do things that aren't on my list, I immediately write it on my list so I can scratch it off right away. Just that sense of accomplishment is so satisfying. The Pharisees look at God's law like a list of things to check off, a list of things to tick the box and say, I'm done with that, I've got it accomplished. And it's become to a point in the Gospels where it looks like the list has actually become their God, the one that they worship. They're blinded by God's intent because all they see is the letters. They're blinded by the spirit of God's word because all they see is what's written. They see a list to do. God's law is intended to, really though, to show them and to show us what we can't do. And it's then intended to show us how much we need God because we can't do these things. But for them, it is their God. They find their mercy, they find their grace in checking things off, in the accomplishments. But of course, this isn't just the Pharisees, though. We fall into this temptation as well. We like a list. We like to check things off. And part of the reason we like the list is because it helps us define what the law is, and it helps us to make it something that we can do, that we can accomplish. For example, later on in the Gospel of Luke, a man will ask Jesus about the greatest command, and Jesus will throw the command or the question back at him, and the man will say, well, he'll say, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, yeah, you got it right. And what does the man ask Jesus then? Well, who is my neighbor? He's looking for Jesus to put a limitation on this command. Okay, I'll love my neighbor, Jesus, but my neighbor's only people I agree with, right? My neighbor's only people that have the same political viewpoint as me, aren't they? My neighbor's only people from my country, right? They're only the ones that will love me in return. Those are my neighbor, right? We want to put limitations on God's law so that we can accomplish it, so that we can feel like we're doing it, because that's where we feel like we earn something. The Lord tells us, don't murder. Do not commit murder. And we're all like, hey, I got that one. I'll check that off the list. But that doesn't include, you know, writing nasty comments on Facebook, does it, Jesus? Because if that's the case, then we got a question here. Or Jesus will tell us, because Jesus tells us in the Gospels, that you are in violation of this command if you so much as call another person a fool. We like it when it's just about murder, though, doesn't it? Because then we can know we've obeyed that command. Luther will say that as far as murder goes, it's not just not hurting somebody, but it's making sure that they are protected, that they are well. We might think, well, I'm obeying this command because I'm not going to hurt that person, but I don't want to help them either. That is disobeying the command. We often look at God's law like I used to look at an essay when I was in middle school and high school. My teacher would say, you have to write on this, and it has to be 200 words. So what do? Every sentence I'm counting up to make sure I'm getting closer to that 200 words. And when I get to 200 words, I am done. I don't care about the content. I don't care about the quality. I did what the teacher asked. I got 200 words. We look at the law as something to accomplish. We want it to be confined so that we can feel good about it because, like the Pharisees, it's become our God. But Jesus understands the spirit of the law. He understands also how much our needs are. He understands that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and that it's a command that is too big for a list. He understands that loving the Lord with your entire being really means that everybody but Him is in violation of the law, that we have all fallen short. Jesus understands the spirit of the law. He wrote it. And as we see here, He is Lord over it. He fulfills it. And in the case of our gospel this morning, He knows what the Sabbath is for. It's not a list of things to check off, but it's for a person's restoration, for their recovery, for their nourishment, for their very redemption. Jesus gives Sabbath to His disciples, nourishing them in their body by allowing them to eat when they're hungry. He gives Sabbath to a man with a withered hand. Who knows how long this man has suffered from this ailment? And maybe it's made him impoverished. He can't do the work that he was growing up to. And Jesus gives this man Sabbath on the Sabbath. He gives him restoration. He gives him recovery. Jesus understands our needs. And so He gives you Sabbath as well. He gives you His restoration. He gives you His nourishment on a regular basis. He gives it to you in bread and wine and in water. He gives it to you in the fellowship of the saints who encourage each other, pray for each other, study God's Word together. He gives it to you as you come to Him in prayer, in worship, to hear His Word. Jesus Sabbaths you. He gives you rest. And He has, of course, given us the promise of His eternal Sabbath. A true rest. A full restoration and redemption, where we get to sit at the feast of the Lamb and be nourished forever through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen.